This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I'm at the church. Just dropped in to do some line checking to make sure that we were okay. Our music minister actually had set up the stuff because the head of our sound team is going to be off this weekend, and so she didn't have time to come by, or she didn't come by. Our music minister then set up everything, and everything was good to go, and I got there and it seemed like everything was good, but then I hollered at Nicole and said, are we good? Are we okay on everything? And so she just asked me to check lines for a moment, and so I was happy to do that. Just got that done, and I'm headed home. We are off on our small groups for the summer, so I don't have too much to rush home about. But obviously, there will be things to do when I get home. So I'm editing. Speaking of things to do, I'm actually editing book 20 at this point. And so that's all going fine. I'm just putting in the last few corrections that had come in from the beta readers. Getting those all put in. As soon as I get that stuff put in, then I'll do my final read through and we'll get the files all put together. That will be that, and we will have 20 out of the way. And then there's just 4 more to go, and I'm halfway through one of those. So it's actually 3.5 to go. It's unbelievable. I just have to really start reflecting now. In fact, I've got one beta reader that I need to get in touch with him and say, okay, so in your mind, what has not been dealt with yet? Because I know the things that I think have not been dealt with yet, but I've got to make sure that I know what needs to be dealt with so I don't miss something. And there are some characters that I may or may not worry about getting dealt with. We'll see. It's one of those things that we'll see where we run out. Although I learned through painful experience that things need to be dealt with. So, I think it was book 17. I had one of my characters who was in peril. He was imperiled by a curmudgeonly old woman who ran a little dive bar in an unsavory corner of the galaxy. And she had a little dog that was this terrible little scrap of a nothing, you know, broken teeth and mangy and all that kind of stuff, half blind. And I had named this dog Turd. So, she had a dog named Turd. Okay, so Turd ended up playing a bit more of a role in the story than I intended. That just happened. Turd eventually gets rescued with my main character, one of my main characters, and gets taken to a planet, Rigel 3. At one point, Turd is like going along, and then there's like a disaster, and then lots of people died, and like that. And it was funny because I had several beta readers said, "What happened to Turd? What happened to the dog?" They really developed an attachment. An attachment to this dog, and they wanted to know. And I was like, oh, well, obviously the dog died in that big mess, but they wanted it resolved. They were maybe hoping that Turd was going to end up on the Dominion. And so I wrote an extra little scene where Turd gets stomped on, and that's the end of that. I mean, because he couldn't see, and you know, he would just wander off places. I mean, there was no... And the character who would have fallen in love with Turd in protection, he died in the book. So, you know, it was like, there's not going to be anyone to take care of Turd. I just figured he wandered off and met his maker, you know, but they wanted to have that scene. So I was like, okay, fine. So I just told him, yeah, Turd's dead. And I'll put in a scene where he gets squashed. So I did. And that was that. I actually am facing that same situation in book 20. Because there's been enough twists and turns in this book series that people aren't, unless I tell them explicitly that something has happened, they don't believe that it's happened. So I had one of my married characters that his wife was in a town that got destroyed. Let's just leave it at that. Destroyed. And I actually had one of my beta readers said, so is so-and-so actually dead? And it was like, yep, yes she is. But there was no explicit scene that did that, so I gotta add that scene. But it's fun that the beta readers are actually thinking about these things. I mean, they're engaged and they're thinking about, okay, so he didn't really say, which is a reasonable outcome given the way that I write. So, but it's fun to see it. So I got to get in touch with my buddy, who's very detailed oriented and quite good at saying, oh wait, you didn't tie up that loose end, or what happened here, or you know, that kind of stuff. And so gotta get together with him and say, okay, so what are the things you think still need resolved? And then I gotta decide which of those I'm actually gonna do. So that's all going well. The costume is going okay. I'm not concerned yet that I'm not going to hit the Marvin the Martian costume deadline. I'm not concerned yet. I'll have to see how it goes this weekend. There's certainly more to do on the headpiece that has the moving eyes and than I anticipated. It's taking a little longer, but I'm not concerned yet because the rest of the costume is pretty simple. And if pressed, I could probably get the rest of the costume done in a week. So maybe 2 weeks at the outside. So I'm okay because I still have 5 weeks, 6 weeks. So I'm okay. But this weekend is going to be big because this weekend is where I'm doing kind of the major assembling of the foundation pieces for the head. And I really want to make some good progress on that this weekend. And then we'll see. This has been a fascinating project because it's one of those engineer it on the fly type things. And so that's been really interesting. Still have lots to do, of course. With even after I get the engineering done, then there's the painting and there's making of the extra pieces and like that. But you know, hopefully we'll get this together. It'll be fun. Hopefully people will enjoy it. We'll go from there. So the topic today, there were a few fleeting moments about an hour and a half ago when I was thinking that I was going to change topics. And then I realized, as I continued to listen to Brent Weinstein and Heather Hain discuss a topic that I really, really like, because it falls in line with some of the things I've been saying for years, really, really like the topic, I realized that I needed to slow down, and I actually needed some notes, and I needed to think a little bit more about it. But it's from their episode, Monsters Spotted, I think is the name of the... It's episode 229 of their podcast. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Ties in with some of the things I've been saying and thinking. And so I think we'll do that next week. This week in the... I don't think I've talked about this. I looked for it, and I didn't see it. Maybe I've talked... I know I've talked about similar things, and I know I've talked about very similar things, but it's just so interesting to see some of this being reflected in more mainstream media outlets. And so it's good. I may say hello to my friend here. Just a second, I'm going to turn you off for a minute. Okay, I'm back. It's an interesting thing because my neighbor had a daughter. She kind of went a little bit on the wild side, ended up being pregnant. And so my neighbor is now raising his grandson. And yes, that completely rearranges your schedule. And yes, they're out mowing and the little guy is up on the chair. On the lawnmower. He loves the lawnmower, my friend said. And yes, that rearranges your schedule. And yes, it maybe wasn't what he was intending to do at this stage in his life. But at the same time, it is tremendously fulfilling. It can be tremendously fulfilling if you will allow it to be, to have kids, raise kids. And the little guy is just a doll. He is just a doll. And he's my friend who lives next door is happy to give his life, a portion of his life, to raise his grandson. And the rewards of doing that are sufficient to override the cost. So it's good. Anyways, but yeah, so Brent Weinstein, Heather Hain, they actually did a podcast where I thought, we want to do that topic. But in the process, I realized that it's not something that I should rush through, that I should just go ahead and do the topic that I had for today. And as I said, frankly, this is something that I have addressed similarly in the past, but it's just so interesting to see a counter narrative for things that until 5 minutes ago, as some are wont to say, we knew these things until 5 minutes ago. And now suddenly we don't seem to know them anymore. And in fact, we not only don't know them, if you dare to question why have we forgotten these things that we obviously knew 5 minutes ago, that you are excoriated and called a whole list of ists, racist, homophobic, you know, all these ists, isms that we're called. So, this article actually came out in February of 2024, and it was about a study done at Stanford. These findings were published in the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences Journal, and according to Stanford Medicine's statement on the study, it was conducted utilizing a new artificial intelligence model to scan around 1,500 brains. The AI scan was then instructed to determine whether or not the brain scan came from a man or a woman, and it correctly predicted that with a 90% accuracy rate. In other words, there is a set of data that can look at activity in the brain, and with a 90% accurate rate, determine whether the person is biologically male or female. So the Vinod Menon, PhD, professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences and director of Stanford's Cognitive and Systems Neuroscience Laboratory, said, a key motivation for this study is that sex plays a crucial role in human brain development, in aging, and in the manifestation of psychiatric and neurological disorders. So, this study's author suggested his new artificial intelligence model could be used to analyze connections between the brain and behavior. He added, identifying consistent and replicable sex differences in the healthy adult brain is a critical step towards a deeper understanding of sex-specific vulnerabilities in psychiatric and neurological disorders. Huh. So specifically, the AI model targeted hotspots in the default mode network, a brain system that helps process self-referential information, the striatum, which focuses on responding to rewards, and the limbic network, which regulates emotions. The study also developed models that analyzed whether behaviors could be predicted based on sex-based differences in the brain. The team then branched out into sex-specific models that were able to effectively predict men or women's cognitive performance based on brain scans. These models worked really well because we successfully separated brain patterns between the sexes. That tells me that overlooking sex differences in brain organization could lead us to missing key factors underlying neuropsychiatric disorders. Okay, so let me just add my little two cents here. I think once we get done and we find out about all of this, what we're going to find is that, and I think this is borne out already by studies, that the brain of males and females in the womb prior to exposure to sex hormones are fundamentally the same. But it is exposures to testosterone and estrogen and these, and very much so the onslaught of all those hormones in puberty that in fact tilt the brains one way or another. So it's not just a matter of socialization. When a young woman goes through puberty, that onslaught of hormones that is created when she goes through puberty creates a brain and an existence that is more inclined, not fully inclined, just more inclined to neurosis and anxiety. Because it has to be. Because that's part of making babies. You have to have this structure for the human race to survive. It's this tuned thing where you have one side that's more compartmentalized and, you know, and more aggressive, more able to go out and hunt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have someone else that's more the other side that is focused on care and our protection and on keeping babies safe and all those things. It's just part of the system. And the system has been the reason that the human race has actually survived through all manner of disasters, all manner of stresses and presses and all that sort of thing, and has survived well until pretty much the last, whatever, 50 years. And there are extremely worrying signs. So they claim in this study that our AI models have very broad applicability. Or researchers could use our models to look for brain differences linked to learning impairment or social functioning differences. For instance, aspects we are keen to understand better to aid individuals in adapting to and surmounting these challenges. Okay? The article says this study contradicted recent efforts to assert that there are little to no biological differences between men and women, especially in defense of transgender athletes competing on women on girls' sports teams, which of course is just silly. And of course, some people have said, well, this still may just be socialization. It's just socialization. But, you know, and obviously certain activists have suggested that there are no biological differences between men and women, contrary to what this study seems to show. So, you know, it's pretty interesting study. So, and what was cute to me is there were comments, and I copied some of them. This is from Anton Antonius Block. In other words, when it comes to, quote, distinguishing gender differences, AI can accomplish with 90% accuracy what Dems do with 0% accuracy, or I should say with what others do with 0% accuracy. Women's Sports League had better put AI in charge before all their players wind up in the hospital. Another person said, quote, unquote, intellectuals are people who have to have big studies costing millions of dollars to understand things that normal people consider totally obvious. Well, yeah. Okay. Someone else quoted, men are for Mars, women are for Venus, written decades ago, just stated the obvious, that epochs of everyday observation had already established. This study seems to confirm what common sense would tell us, et cetera, et cetera. Then some people got a little snarky. You know, in a follow-up report, the sky is blue, grass is green, and water is red. Wet. Another one. In other news, dogs are found to be different from cats. Another one. Wow, what an incredible discovery. Men are hardwired differently than women. The plumbing is also different. Someone else said, you could have asked a bunch of 60-year-old men who've been married for a long time, any of the men who have dealt with women, either as co-workers, employees with any man who has a sister and a mother, could have saved them a lot of money. So, et cetera. And somebody told the old joke. Someone else said, I sure hope they don't win any awards for this research. It was studied and proven decades ago. Next in the present universe, we'll need to study to see if the Earth is round or flat. Last person said, oh, good, they proved it again. What is this, the 1,000th such study? Odd, they keep coming up with the same answer. So, you know, it's all very interesting. But at least these studies are getting press. That's the important thing to me. At least they're getting press from some quarters. And I don't think that's bad. So it's all very interesting. And I think that's it. This is Phil Ferrand. And I have made it home.